Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
It is a lovely day, much pretty temperate. We got a little breeze going and a little bit of sunshine. And, well, hey, we're all above board, you know, above ground kind of thing. So that's probably a good thing. And I am really excited to be here today. I have to say that sometimes I get a little bit emotional on the show, but that's okay because I am extremely touched by acts of kindness, and this show is about practicing kindness. I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you what my thought is. My first thought when I think about kindness is this. When you want to figure out how to get or act or be kind, this is my opinion, mind you, I would say that you need to think. Like, really think. I think, thinking is probably the first step to kindness. And I'm not saying that you need to sit there and muddle on it, try to figure out, well, should I do something or should I not do something? It's not really about that. It's just really think about things. Not from your perspective, but from the perspective of anyone you're choosing to help. That's my personal opinion. Because sometimes we decide that we're going to help someone who doesn't, they may not even need any help. I mean, for a long time, people who had some kind of disability or had some kind of handicap, however it is that they're choosing to call it, in your own personal life, whoever you are, very often people would just decide that they had to help someone because they made this determination that they were, quote unquote, less than. And people aren't less than just because they're not exactly shaped like you or they don't have all the particular limbs that you have. Somebody who may have one of their senses impaired most likely has extreme compensation from their other senses. So it's something to really think about before you even get started with the whole kindness thing. And hopefully you're coming through with kindness from your heart, not because you have to do it, not because somebody else told you you should, not because if you're doing it, maybe someone will get a picture of it and, you know, maybe you'll get a raise or something, which is a little bit creepy, but some people think it just shouldn't really matter. But I really believe that your energy, which generally follows your frame of mind and your thought, is to, it makes a big difference. I remember years ago, I went to a street fair in the United States. It was in the University District of Seattle, Washington. It was over near University of Washington. And every year they used to have a street fair down the main Ave. And I went walking through there with some friends, and I think I got some pottery or something. And I had my checkbook with me and a little bit of cash, and it was a little bit more than the cash I had, and so I asked the gentleman if I could write a check, and he said, oh, absolutely. And I said, do you have a stamp or something, because we're so used to that. And he said, "No, I really do believe your energy is more important when you write out the whole check yourself." And I never forgot that. And I think that that actually takes place in our lives in so many other areas. So here we are. We're talking about practicing kindness. Kindness, it actually is a gift you're giving yourself. If your heart is in the best frame of mind, you're helping yourself and you're helping others. Here's a thought. Who's getting more out of you being kind to somebody? The person that's receiving your kindness or you? I mean, if you're doing a whole lot of acts of kindness, I mean, you know, it sounds to me like you're a love junkie. Which I think is, quite honestly, a fabulous place to be. So I know that my friend Lydia on her Saturday show, Time to Love, would say, yeah, love junkie, that's where it's at, man. And she'd say it and it'd sound better, but I really do believe that that's all what it's about. So let's get into some of these acts of kindness. To be perfectly honest, I found some incredible stories and suggestions for acts of kindness. And it just, it touched me. I had to really, like, hold myself together so I didn't end up becoming a wet blanket like one of my friends who, well, she knows who she is. She's probably all wet now from crying. She cries all the time. You know, we just have a river of tears out of that one. Maybe we could make some money off of that. Anyways, here, there is a website that's called randomactsofkindness.org. Great. Great website. You go there and they have all kinds of resources. There's videos. They talk about the positive effects of kindness that is in schools and other places. And they have these incredible stories of kindness. Oh, boy. Well, listen. This year, there is a World Kindness Day. And it takes place on November 13th, 2014. Mark the day, folks. If you're a real nasty curmudgeon, just hateful kind of thing, you know, pissing, spitting, exuding every kind of darkness you think possible, you might be able to make it up on that day and do something really great, like smile at someone. It really only takes the smallest little thing of kindness. And I'm telling you, it's going to affect you. Don't get too scared now. But even just a simple smile will affect you in ways that are probably beyond your comprehension. It literally affects you down to the cellular level. And we know for sure it affects you on your spiritual level. Now, you may think you have no spirit or no soul, but it doesn't mean you don't have one. And even if you don't believe in this, it doesn't mean it's not affecting you. So my thought is this, practice kindness. Just find a way. On Mondays, everyone talks about the dreaded Mondays and they got to go back to work. Those are prime times to practice kindness because it gets you off the horrific fact that you're having to go to work. Unless you have figured out how to do what you love to do and making, you know, made work your playtime. So, okay, let me get some of these things in here, some of these different types of kindness that I have come up with. Some of these lists are amazing. Okay, let's see. Listen, if you don't know what to do, I'm going to give you some of these great ideas. There's another way, well, on that same website, the Random Acts of Kindness, they have what they call ideas. And it's a huge list. It's huge. I was trying to scroll down and trying to scroll down and trying to scroll down. I still haven't got to the bottom of that list. I'm going to just pop off some of them to you. I do have a caller online that's listening, and I will pop in there in case you're interested in talking. I will say this. If you're interested in talking on the show, then just let me know, and I'll unmute you for good, I mean, for a while. And if you're not interested in talking, just say nothing, and I'll go ahead and put you back on mute. Okay, here's some ideas. This one's, of course, sweet. Visit an animal shelter. I was just talking about this to a friend. They're really hard for me. I know it's a great idea to go there, just visit, take out a couple of dogs and cats, and just play with them, hug them. Tell the people you're a considerate animal. They don't know. You are a considerate animal. You're considering about giving them a little love and attention and just snuggle them up, you know, help them feel just a little bit better. Maybe they'll be more attractive to people who are coming in while you're there holding them. And it's just a good idea. It's just a good idea. Imagine yourself being sort of homeless and sort of thrown away. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody came to visit you, talk to you, give you a little encouragement that something great is around the corner? Okay. The other, here's one that probably a lot of parents might enjoy. Clean up after yourself or, well, someone in your house might. Someone in your house might appreciate that. Whoever's doing all the cleaning up might appreciate someone else doing it. I would appreciate it, but quite honestly, my two dogs, they do more to contribute to what has to be cleaned up than to clean up, unless I drop some kibble or food on the floor. The other one is, for children, share a toy or a game. If you're an adult, you can share a toy or a game. And help an unemployed friend. Maybe you can help them look for work, like, hey, I found this, or my friend belongs to this company, maybe you can check them out. Donate old textbooks. It's hard for me to let go of books, but if I knew somebody needed it and I had it, I would certainly let it go. Here's something that a friend of mine, my best pal from high school, and I, we attended, it says attend an event, but think outside the Metropolitan and the opera and all that. Think about high schools. A lot of high schools raise funds for their band program, for their drama department, their music department, when they put on shows or they do musicals, whatever. Usually there's some little fee that goes to the student body. So you could be helping out a lot of teenagers. You could be helping out the next generation of people that are going to be living around you. And maybe they'll appreciate it in kind by being kind to you when they're your new neighbors. Okay, let me take on a couple of these phone calls just real quickly to see who wants to chime in just as we're going along with this. Okay, 609. Hello, you're on BYO Brilliance. Today we're talking about practicing kindness. Did you want to contribute to the show, or are you just listening today?
Just listening today.
Okay, sweetie. I'm going to put you back on mute, and I'll just leave it at that, okay? Thanks for calling in, though, sweetie. Hold on.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
no.
And I have 253 on the line. Would you like to speak, or are you also just listening?
I just wanted to add to your act of kindness, which is really a beautiful thing, that not only that, but when you're out and about, and which I saw that too with Melody, but, you know, if you're out for an event or something like that, it's good to show acts of kindness. To me, is to someone that would be looked over, that wouldn't even be thought about or looked at. So my little example, or one of them, as I was at a club one night, and in fact, I was managing a jazz band. Anyway, there was a gentleman sitting over in the corner, you know, he was handicapped, kind of body kind of twisted, and he tapped his little finger on the table and his foot on the floor, you know, but he was being overlooked. If you understand what I'm saying, like people around there dancing, talking, drinking, whatever, but it's like this man did not exist. And I thought, you know what? He's going to be my date tonight. Now, I was dressed to the 20s, and it surprised him at first when I went over there and I asked him to dance. And he was like, really? I said, of course. Of course.
Aww.
And him and I got out there and shake that booty, boy, and snapped them fingers. He had tears in his eyes by the third dance because I didn't dance with anybody else but him.
Aww.
And if you could imagine, I mean, listening audience, some of you know how I look and some don't. I'm a very attractive woman. And so I'm dressed to the 20s and I should be with this guy or that guy. Out of that whole club, I kept my attention on that one guy. Why? Because he was overlooked. And all he wanted was just to enjoy himself like everybody else.
Right.
So I said, I'm not overlooking him. You know, I went on a cruise, one cruise that I went on, and the husband and wife, you know, we were all, it was a dancing part on the ship. And so his wife was kind of just back there in the wheelchair, and he was kind of out on the floor with friends, you know, not dancing any particular woman. And I saw her just sitting there like, she was smiling, but, you know, you wish you could be involved, but she's in the wheelchair. I said, fuck that. I went over there and got her, and I said, you want to dance? And she goes, huh? I said, come on, honey. I pulled that wheelchair out on the floor, and we got to gigging so good that everybody started dancing with her. It was like she wasn't even in the wheelchair. Now, that's my act of kindness, because I feel like people get looked over in our society, and like you say, a smile. Maybe somebody just had a bad day or whatever, and you just smiled at him, you know, and said, hey, good evening or good morning, good afternoon. And that might have just been the corner that they turn to feel a little bit better about themselves or their situation. So, but I love for the people to get overlooked. That's just me, because I think sometimes
invisible
society
people, as some people would call people that society just walks over. You're bringing up a great point that how you give this act of kindness. Sort of, as I started out saying, think about it. You know, don't think about it in terms of what you want for you. Think about it in terms of what may or may, you know, what may work for the person that you sort of feel. And sometimes it's good to ask. You know, would you like to ask? You know, not ask.
Yep.
Would you dance or, you know, can I do this for you or whatever? There's some of the notes that they have, random notes of people who have done these incredible things, I want to read to you here in a moment. But it's kind of, I'm thinking about what you're saying about the invisible people. There was a person who had written in for AARP. This person was saying that he and his wife and 17 other seniors were taking an AARP senior defensive driving test. And then they put in parentheses, you know, the one that keeps a senior safe from all you younger drivers out there. Someone came in about 10 a.m. and announced that some lady had bought lunch for the entire class in the center's cafeteria. Now, there's a couple of things in there that you sort of touched me, the fact that a lot of people sort of have this sort of ageism issue. And then also, you know, you're not youth-oriented, so you're sort of not relevant. I don't know what got people believing that age is somehow an important issue, but it means nothing to me, and time really means very little, as my instructors probably would tell you in the haphazard way at times that I submit my graduate work. I do beat to a different drummer, but that has to do with the brilliance that's within me, and I'm hoping to speak to the brilliance that is within you. And I believe everybody has that brilliance, which is why I do this show, BYO Brilliance, Bring Your Own Brilliance, because you were born with it, is my assertion. You're always welcome to believe whatever it is you choose to believe, okay? But let me get to some of these letters, because you're bringing up a great point about how people see things, okay? So
okay, just mute me. I'm listening.
Okay. So
okay,
there is,
thank you.
pardon? What? Excuse me? Oh, she's going on mute. Okay. So here we go. 14 random acts of kindness. I'm not going to read them all, but some of them I'm going to read that I can see. There's this one I thought was so absolutely adorable. This veterinarian was talking about a dog that was hit by a car, was brought into the clinic. They had to amputate his leg. The owner's granddaughter wrote a little note, and the veterinarian said, "This, folks, is why I do what I do." And the veterinarian said, the little girl wrote, her name was Kylie Bryant. You can see this note. It's so cute. It's totally a little kid writing. And she wrote, "Thank you for fixing my dog. I love her even with three legs." So cute. Okay, I'm totally not crying yet. Somebody else wrote a little note that said, "Friend, you have a nail in your front tire, passenger side, just trying to save you the trouble of a flat when you don't expect it." See how little this seems to be. And what would it have taken to do that? That doesn't take a half an hour of your time. And how many of us always say, "I don't have time"? How many times do we say that? And I say, make time. Make time for a moment of kindness, because it's coming back to you. The good comes back to you multiple times, folks. Some of the bad can come back to you that way, too. So why not hedge your bets and go for the kindness? You know, why not? You really don't know where it's going to lead in your life. It's real common, a lot of common things that people will see, a little envelope with some change in it, and somebody will write, "Random act of kindness, enjoy a drink or a treat on me." That's a real simple thing that you could do. You could put it in an envelope with maybe 60 cents, 80 cents, or whatever. Any change you have sitting in a bottle, throw it in there and tape it to maybe a vending machine. Or, you know, maybe drop some off at your favorite coffee watering hole, and so that other people can, you know, maybe if they're a little short, they can get their favorite mocha or something. That's okay. And let's see. This person wrote, I thought this was really sweet. It's on a post-it note, and it said, "I may be just a post-it note, but it doesn't take much to see how beautiful you are." How many times do we go running out of the house thinking, "Oh, man, I'm all harried, whatever," and nobody says anything like, "Oh, I like your dress," whatever. You can even say that you like someone's earrings. It doesn't mean that you're going to date them for life or you're shackled to them with chains. It's just a little compliment. And it doesn't matter who you're complimenting. If it's a kid, if it's an adult, if it's an elderly person, it doesn't matter who it is. It really doesn't. You know, as long as, you know, you're not coming with groping hands or anything kind of sort of lascivious. But there's other things that are there. Like, let's see, was this it? Yeah. Somebody wrote, "Hi there, as I was pulling out of the parking lot today, I noticed that your trunk was propped open and I could see stuff inside. Realizing no one was in the car, I closed it so no one would take anything, but you may want to check your car for missing items. I think it might have been broken into. Sorry, I can't be of any more help. Best, stranger." You know, you gotta have these thoughts where, wow, I'm not alone in the world. When somebody who has nothing to do with me is thinking about me, that sort of golden rule, I know there's a lot of people who think, well, golden rule is do unto others as I would have done unto me, or I do, well, that's sort of, I think, the better way of saying it, but there's a lot of people who have it sort of backwards, like I treat people the way they treat me. Well, Who stands out there to treat somebody first with the extended hand? Anyways, Just a few more letters that I saw on here. That was just one. I think up to the other one too, and because there was a lot of them. There's just a lot of heartwarming ones. Let's see. This one I just thought was adorable. I wanted to offer to hold your sweet baby while you both ate lunch, but my husband said I'd look like a stalker, so I'm buying your lunch instead. Enjoy that sweet baby. We have teenagers, and I know what's ahead for you, so snuggle your wee one while you can. Now, maybe you think that the big gift was that this person bought their lunch. I think the big gift is that they gave them a little bit of foresight down the road. I feel this way even with my dogs when they were little puppies. Good Lord, the little clowny eggs and their little fuzzballs, or your little kittens, or, you know, just time, which doesn't really matter other than the fact that it's some weird measurement that we use. But it is moving on. The world's revolving on an axis. So enjoy the people in your life while you can. And the thought that somebody would actually offer this bit of wisdom to me is huge. I just think it was brilliant. And even though what she wanted to do was hug this precious little cherub, she gave to this woman instead of enjoying that wonderful treat, just like, hold on while you can, because everything's changing. Everything's changing. So now here's one from Lady Gaga. I don't really know much about her. I can't say that she's like, you know, I really don't know anything about her music. I'm a graduate student. I'm doing good to even know what the old stuff I used to listen to years ago. But anyway, Lady Gaga had taken a photo with a homeless man, and she had given him some money, and he said, when she was trying to take the photo with him, he said to her, "But I smell," and she said, "Don't worry, I smell too." And a little picture of him, and he looked a little bit downtrodden, but she settled up to him and sort of cuddled into his shoulder, and I don't know what it meant to him. Maybe the money was something good for him. Maybe it was just that somebody like Lennis had said on her call, somebody actually just looked at, she treated them as not invisible. So I think that that's really fabulous. Now here's one I think is kind of cute. This guy, he said, "Hey dude, I saw you moving your girlfriend out yesterday. Sorry about that, man. There are definitely other fish in the sea. Take this and break it into ones and get your ass to the strip club. Cheer up, neighbor. Merry Christmas, apartment 3F. And he left this guy a $50 bill so he wouldn't be so sad. And we think that, a lot of people anyway, that men aren't, you know, they're not emotional. Imagine how he's just thinking how it was hard for when he probably had to break up with somebody, and maybe somebody, you know, helped him get over what was a bit of a broken heart. I really hope that you are hearing what I'm saying about kindness, practicing it, what it's doing for you, your energy, your heart, your mind, your spirit. It's also doing it for someone else. And that, there's the rub right there. Knowing that you might be cheering someone up for even a second, and you're responsible for that. How great is that? In all the wide world of all the great things that you can do, you can get someone to smile by just a simple act, or to feel good, or to feel connected to the human race. It's just brilliant, if you ask me. Oh, hello, Nina.
Hello, Brenda. How are you? Your show is going smashingly. Your show is going smashingly. I just wanted, did you tell everybody how what I tell my little ones every week?
Well, I would think that would be for you to tell. That's your energy work.
All right. As many of you know, I have a daycare, and I have three of my little ones go to school. So at least once or twice a week, I say to them, okay, today's the day. You need to do a random act of kindness for somebody. So, and then when you get home at lunchtime or after school, you have to tell me what you've done. Well, this has brought about such a nice change in these kids. The one little guy that would just go do-do-do-do-do and ignore everything, he is now actually helping more people. He's picking up pencils for people. He's cleaning stuff up for his teacher. His hand shoots up, actually both of them, because they're both in kindergarten. Their hands shoot up to offer to help all the time now. So it's really, I think, teaching them very young that kindness is a good thing, and it's a good thing to do, and they tell me that they feel so good afterwards. And that's really, really does my heart good. So, yeah, I love doing that with the kids. I love them. I love watching their faces as they're telling me what they've done that day. It's just so, so fulfilling, and it makes me feel really good.
You're reminding me of, I don't know if any of you know who Anthony Robbins is, Tony Robbins. He does the tape series and shows Personal Power. Very tall guy, really magnanimous, just outgoing, and helps people change their lives by helping them reframe their thinking and in all kinds of positive ways. But he, on one of his older tapes, his son was a really little guy, and he was saying that his mom had come by to visit and brought his son a bunch of balloons, and his son was just overwhelmed, just, oh yeah, you know, little children, balloons, bright ones, colored ones, all kind, and some mylar ones maybe. He was just so excited, and then he thought to himself, Tony did, you know, wonder how I can get my son to learn from this moment, this gift, how he could learn some really good stuff. So he said, hey, you really like how good it is that Grandma brought you these beautiful balloons, right? And he said, yeah, this is awesome. You know, he's talking for his kid. Yeah, this is awesome. This is great. And his dad said, Tony said to his son, he said, wouldn't it be great to help other people feel that way too? I mean, wouldn't you like it if other people felt that great too? And he said, yeah, that would be really great. So he said, I got an idea. And they went to a nursing home. And he watched his son give a balloon to different people, and how these elderly people, some of them in beds or wheelchairs, were just the way they just brightened up that this little boy wanted to share his balloons with them. Never forgot that. I heard that years and years ago, and you're reminding me of that, what you're doing. And it's like, hey, if you're teaching an act of kindness in the little ones as they're coming up, imagine where the world is going to be in just a few short years. Maybe we can get our children to cling more to acts of kindness than acts of war. Not trying to get political, but, you know, imagine. And I believe that we can, you know, we've got it within us. We have the ability. Deep within our brilliance, we have the ability to change the world. One smile, one little kind act at a time. Doesn't that
be for sure.
Congress, that's right. So, yeah. Here's one. What?
There was a few years ago, Jim and I were on holidays, and we had stopped for lunch at quite a nice restaurant, actually. Well, you know, not upscale or anything, but it was nice and clean and everything. And there was two elderly ladies sitting at the table just across from us. And I was, you know, kind of watching them. They were, you know, all dolled up and looked so nice. And I thought, you know, isn't that nice? They're friends and going out for a nice lunch together. Well, I noticed that the one lady only ordered toast. And I thought, oh, well, maybe she's not feeling all that well. And then when their bill came, she started digging in her purse for change. And I started crying a little bit, and Jim said, well, what's wrong? And I said, well, that lady over there, she's got no money in her purse, and she is digging in her purse for change to pay her bill, and all she had was toast. So Jim and I left, and we paid their bill and just left. And I kept thinking about that lady and wondering, boy, I wish I could have done more. But at least I did that much, and I noticed, because, you know, sometimes you don't notice these things, but for once I was paying attention. And I felt kind of good, but I felt kind of bad, too. Make sense?
Yeah. Listen, take the opportunities, folks. The best probably time to take the opportunity, I mean, Nina's just, well, she's a bleeding heart, sweetheart. I have to jab her all the time just to remind her that I don't know why. Just because it's fun for me. But anyway, sometimes the best time to do something really kind is when you've had the worst day. The worst day. You just have no idea how things would turn around. Let me read you this one. This is something that most women can relate to, and this would horrify me. Okay, this person is writing, I had my period before I was 14, was at my guy friend's house. I forgot to bring pads, and his dad and mom were there. We were eating strawberries on his white couch. I had bled through my shorts onto his white couch while I was wearing white shorts. His parents left the room, and I got up to go pee, and there was blood everywhere. And I started crying, and he grabbed the strawberries, smashed them on the couch and on me and himself. Then when his parents came in, he was like, we had fruit war. How sweet is that? This is so horrifying. You get your period. Like, if you're a woman, it's like no woman wears white when they think their period is going to come. None. Even if she thought she could pat it up all over her whole body. If she thought she could wear Depends, somehow, when you're wearing white, there's a problem. Don't know what that's about, but it's even more uncomfortable for most women to discuss it with a man, sort of like as if somehow there's some shame in it. It's a natural body function, but the fact that at a young age she had a friend that loved her that much and covered her is just amazing. So, listen, folks, if you're not really sure what else to do, I got some more ideas. You could even go to Oprah. She's got on her site, Inspiration, 35 Little Acts of Kindness. I'm not going to read them all. Somebody said take someone's shift at the carpool, time when they have to do the carpool so they don't have to. Bring your assistant coffee. Well, Oprah, most of us don't have assistants. I could give coffee to my dog, Ty, but he'd probably just cause me more trouble. Here's one I think is great. Out of the blue, send flowers to a friend. I've got an idea. Out of the blue, send flowers to yourself. Guess who else needs love in the world and kindness? You do, and you can always be good to yourself. I know, turn the other cheek, think about others, all that is all true. It's all really great ways of thinking. But if you're a religious person and you're in that sort of Judeo-Christian thought process where you're supposed to treat all God's children with love and all that, somehow I always wonder why it is people always forget themselves. You're also one of those people. You're also somebody who needs to be treated with kindness. If you haven't done something really nice for yourself, and I'm not talking about just buying and buying and buying because, I don't know, you're trying to make up for missing love or something. I mean something that's just little and nice for yourself. Maybe you don't eat sugar. Maybe you don't eat, you know, popsicles or you whatever. Maybe when the little ice cream man comes by, maybe you just walk out there and get an ice cream. You know, flag him down and just get something. It doesn't matter. If you want low cow, get it. But listen, treat yourself as good as you would treat others. If you're doing all these little acts of kindness to everyone else but not yourself, you're missing the whole brilliance part of you. You deserve it as much as me or anybody else. Put coins in expired meters. I've done that. Anybody else? Hands? I've done that.
Yeah. My hand's up.
And especially when I saw the meter maid coming. I don't know. Maybe I'm just an anarchist. Maybe. some of this, give a homeless person your doggy bag. Okay. I would do something different, but look, do what you feel comfortable with. Offer to pick up groceries for an elderly neighbor, especially in extreme weather. One time I was at the grocery store and I saw somebody that was just, they were standing there with, actually it was over by where Lennis used to live on 216th, and there was a woman standing out front of the Safeway and she had a whole bunch of groceries in her cart. And I said, are you waiting for a ride or something? She said, I'm just waiting for the taxi. And I said, do you want a ride? And she said, well, and I said, I'll give you a ride. You don't have to pay me anything. So we loaded all our stuff in. And, of course, I was sort of like, let's hurry before the taxi driver gets here, please. But, okay, taxi driver, I'm sorry, and I hope you get some goodies for that, you know, missed fare. But it's hard when you don't have a car sometimes. It's hard. If you have a friend who's a single mom and they have some transportation issues, think about it. Think about when you're getting ready to go get your groceries, maybe you could contact your friend and say, hey, I'm going to Costco or whatever big gigantic warehouse place, or maybe you're just going down the road to pick up, you know, some eggs and milk or something. It's like, do you want me to pick up something for you, or would you like to run down and get some of your shopping done? It's little enough, folks. It's little enough. Speaking nothing of the conservation that you're doing for the ecology by having a quote-unquote carpool, years ago, a friend of mine, single mom, she's real low income. I didn't have great income, but I did have a car. And I had a Costco card. And when I found out that I could have a friend on my Costco card, she took her down there. She got on the card. She got on the cart so then she could go with either her mom or sisters or whatever. And I figured maybe that would help, you know, lower her grocery bill. So let's see. Let's see, take a minute to direct someone who is lost, even though they're rushing. Okay, let me tell you about Lennis, the woman who was speaking earlier. She used to work at ground transportation at SeaTac Airport. I'm going to tell you the kind of kindness. I can't even tell you it all because it's unbelievable, and I really don't want to get into tears, but there were people that would come in off airplanes that barely spoke any English. They weren't really sure what was going on. They didn't always know how to get downtown. Somebody could have taken advantage of them in a heartbeat. I mean, some of them would try to open up their wallets with all this money to try to give to my aunt, but she chose to help them. She either got them into a cab or a limo by a friend that she knew that drove limo or something so that they could get where they want to get. There you are, Linus. Go ahead. Tell us some of your
incredible. I'm here.
Yeah.
I wanted to also say, too, another thing, Brenda. Thank you. Another act of kindness while I was at work. I kind of got fussed at for this, and I'll tell you why a little later. Anyway, this man was in front of me, and he goes, I think I need 911. And I said, okay, what seems to be the problem? And he goes, well, I think I cut my leg there on the escalator. I looked down. It was a pool of blood already standing, coming out this man's leg. So I was like, I didn't get him excited, but I thought to myself, oh, God. So anyway, I ran out, got a wheelchair, set him in there, and I said, sir, let me apply some pressure. I said, it looks like you might have cut a vein on the back of your leg when you fell. And he was, aww, you know, pretty good-sized man. Well, anyway, I didn't see where it was helping with me. And I had him call 911, you know, do the bit. But anyway, I didn't see where my hands were helping to stop the bleeding, so I ran back inside. I couldn't find the tourniquet stuff out of our darn first aid kit. So what did I do? I got some plastic garbage bags and tied them puppies around this man's leg to stop the blood from running. And then, you know, kind of cleaned him up. And I just talked to him like, you know, well, you're traveling, blah, 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 waiting for the medics, you know, 911 to come. Well, anyway, later on, I found out the next day, the supervisor told me, he said, I possibly saved that man's life because he did. He had cut a major artery, yes, on the back of his leg, some major vein there. And with me tying that plastic around, well, to me, okay, yes, it was an act of kindness, but for me, I saw somebody hurt. And I saw this blood. Now, the bad part about it, I did not use gloves. I didn't ask if the man had any medical history with his blood, you know, like cancer, AIDS, or whatever, you know. For me, I look at it like this. The love in my heart, if I can help you, like Brenda say, showing kindness, God's going to take care of me. That's how I look at that. So whatever that you have, I don't even worry about it because you know what? What I'm doing is for the good, and I'm helping you. And that's all that matters to me right then is to help you. But Brenda's right. I've helped a lot of people that's come through that airport and given them money to get where they're going, you know, food, whatever, because I just think, you know, I don't know what the future holds for me. Now I'm 65, but this is back in the 40s and 40s and 50s. And, you know, I kept saying, I don't know what the future holds. When I get to be 60, 70 years old, I hope that somebody takes time out to help me.
Of course.
Oh, or even turn around and give me a smile. You know what I mean? Oh. Or give me a couple of pennies or a nickel on something. So in order for that to happen, maybe I should give now, you know, being in my 40s and 30s too, but I'll say in my 40s more so, give now not just for that, but put in. I said this in the chat room. What you put in, you get back. Now, it may not be the way you want, but if you show kindness like, and then it was saying helping this lady out. Now, who knows? Now, Nina might go to the store one day and, dadgummit, I'm a quarter short. All of a sudden, the person behind me, I got you, lady. Boom, put it on the counter. I'm like,
that
was nice.
You go forward.
Was nice, but it's because you showed kindness to somebody else, that kindness came back to you, but probably in a different way, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, so I believe that. Go ahead, Brenda. I'm mute.
Okay. I used to drive the Metropolitan bus in the city. I drove the big 60-footer, loved it. And, you know, and then there was stuff. But anyway, I was always running into people who were lost. So I was always trying to help out this person or whatever. There are three things, and I'm going to try to get these through quick, that really hit me. And this is where I'm talking about think. You know, as you're getting ready to think about things, as you're getting ready to put in your act of kindness, well, I had a kid that was – I always kind of wonder when kids could start sitting towards the front of the bus, you know, what's going on with them, and I try to feel out what's going on. And this kid, he seemed sort of out of place or sort of bewildered, and he started asking me a few questions, and I said, it's kind of late. Why aren't you, you know, at home? Oh, I'm going to a friend's house. And I said, yeah? I said, you got all that, those bags to go to your friend's house? And it's like, well, you know, I'm, he said he was, he said he was kind of mad at his parents. He was going to move out. Okay. And so as we continued to talk, and I said, so your friend's going to allow you to live there now? And he said, well, yeah, he said, I can stay as long as I want to. And I said, and your parents made you mad? He goes, well, I want to do something. They wouldn't let me. And I said, interesting. I said, now, this friend of yours, do you think that they have finances to take care of all your needs and your food and everything? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, And I said, now, do you think they love you more than your parents? And he said, probably not. And I said, interesting. But your parents, they sort of have to take care of you, right? And he goes, well, I said, yeah, they don't have to take care of you. There's a lot of parents out there that, quite frankly, they chop their kids up. It's a horrible thought. I said, but your parents who don't have to do anything for you to get you to like them, they don't have to do anything. But they seem to have clothed you quite well. Yeah. And I said, so you seem to be kind of healthy. Yeah. And I said, interesting. So are you going to call your parents when you get there to let them know where you are? Yeah, I guess so. And I said, it's not going to get easier, sweetie. Because out there, your parent, I mean, your job, you're going to have to get a job. I guarantee you, your friend's not going to take care of you for free forever. Your parents sort of love you, so they do it. I said, so when you think about running away or thinking that you're just, you know, you got something better somewhere else, I said, remember this, your parents were feeding you and helping you and doing things for you without you having to even treat them good. And I said, remember that. You know, if nothing else, remember to tell them how much that they mean to you or thank them for what they've done for you. You know, on your quest to become independent at, say, and I asked him how old he was, and he said, 14. So by the end of his ride on my bus, he was deciding to call his parents to pick him up. Now, it's really no skin off my back, and those parents will probably never know who I am. But sometimes children, even though we, you know, I could have just said, oh, man, parents are rotten, aren't they? I could have done any of that. But your act of kindness is to think about the best situation for somebody that you're choosing to help. Okay? So whether it's something like that, giving someone some little bit of information that they may not have thought about, like the little girl that got on my bus and asked me if you could get pregnant, you know, on just one time. It was like, what? Like, why did they get on my bus? Lord, why? And she was on a full bus coming from the airport heading into town. And she was, what is it about the age 14? What? And she was 14 years old. And I said, honey, you need to make sure that you don't allow anyone to love you to death. And she said, well, I kind of sort of use protection. I said, there's no such thing, sweetie. You either using it or you don't. And I spoke to this little girl and tried to help her reason about having sex at such a young age. Her mom didn't want her to go live with her aunt who was 18 with three children already. And it's like, why do you think your mom doesn't want you to live with her? Well, I don't know. That's her sister's. And I said, she's got three children and she's only 18. Is that the path you're hoping to have? Well, no. And she goes, it's just my mom doesn't like my boyfriend because, you know, he's kind of had trouble. What is that? Like, what do you mean? Well, he went to jail kind of on this stupid humbug. And it's like, ooh, oh. I was like, please, God, don't let this happen to any child of mine. But just like, if this person is reasoning that he's going to go to jail for a humbug or some stupid reason, that's not very good thinking. You might want to head back to mom. So when she got off the bus, I thought, someone is going to call in on my boss and say, this lady is giving advice about using, what do you call it, condoms, da, da, da. Listen, do I want a 14-year-old having sex? Heck no. Am I thinking that, you know, she's going to have more sex if she uses a condom? I have no idea. She's not my child. But one thing I do know, if she can stop herself from getting AIDS and spreading it on to everyone else, maybe when my child comes along, they're not going to get it. And maybe your child won't get it or whatever. So I was already chancing the fact that I was going to end up getting in trouble when I got in, because this is really personal stuff and I'm just a bus driver. And then when we got downtown, this lady came up with her luggage and I thought, oh, God, I'm getting ready to get in trouble. She said, you know, bus driver? And I said, yeah. She said, I hope to God that when my child is 14, if she is going through those things, that she gets on a bus with someone like you. And although I thought I was giving this little kid a gift, this woman gave me a gift. And she validated.
Okay, you're making me cry. Stop it.
The kind of care that we all need to have for each other, okay? Hillary Clinton, whether you like her politically or not, she's not the only one. This is an African proverb anyway. It does take a village to raise children. And our children are our best resources. And if you don't think so, wait 20 years and look at the kind of child that you've forgotten or you glossed over or you think is invisible, because they're going to be out there with you when you're 20 years older. And if we at least handle them with care and give them good acts of kindness and teach them to do it with each other and the rest of us, we're all going to be in a much better place. Okay, we're just about out of time. If you need to figure out something to do, go check out randomactsofkindness.org, okay? Oprah also has something on inspiration, and just type in your search engine, acts of kindness. Something will come up and it'll tell you, because quite honestly, you can make a difference, and no act of kindness, no matter how small it is ever wasted, ever. Okay, let's talk about some of the shows that are coming up, shall we? Tomorrow we're going to have psychic readings with Lennis at 6 p.m. Yes. Pacific time. Psychic readings. And she's got a special going on. Every ninth caller gets a free psychic reading. It's worth $60, folks. You're going to be in competition with me and everyone else trying to call in and get that.
Yeah, me and Brenda are in competition for this. So if you want that, you guys better phone. You bet, and keep phoning, because we are going to beat
That's
you
right.
to it if you don't.
She doesn't just sit around like, do you guys want to do a reading? She does not. Hint, hint. And so anyway, call in, folks, tomorrow. And the other thing is, let's see, then that brings us to Thursday, right?
It does.
Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be in Filmcology. That's psychology and film. And we look at the psychological aspects of film, because I'm a psychology graduate student trying to finish my dissertation, and I love talking about psychology. So I'm going to be talking about it on a film that was released the year I was born, 1963. It's a black and white film, and it is incredibly spooky. It's great, and there's no CGI, folks. This is like the old-style monster movies. Okay, I mean, it's a ghost creeper movie, okay? Just watch it.
It's called
me.
The Haunting. She failed to tell you that, but it's called The Haunting.
You can follow the link. You know, look under Lennis. You'll find Filmcology, or just type in Filmcology on your search engine. You'll find me. Okay, and then on Friday. Ooh, special show. Take it away, Nina. Tell us about it.
We have Traffic Jam Fridays with Lennis, and this week is going to be a special 1 hour from 5 o'clock Pacific time to 6 o'clock, and it is going to be dedicated to my two grandsons, Malcolm and Cameron. They asked Lennis if she could play some teen music, and Lennis said, sure, the next time you're at your grandma's house, I'm going to do that. So, Friday, Traffic Jam is dedicated to all you young folks, and especially to my grandsons, Malcolm and Cameron. And now that brings us to Saturday, and Time to Love with Lydia.
And I love her show. I love the title of this show. It's called Funky to Flow. She says sometimes things just get really funky in life, and then, you know, she's going to talk about a way for us to get it to flow. And Lydia is excellent at this. She's got a great personality, and she's extremely engaging. So you're going to want to check in there. Her show is called Time to Love with Lydia Pello because she's all about the love. She's totally the love hippie, the love. She's just, you know, love yourself. Just a great, great show to catch, okay?
And then on Sunday.
That's 2 o'clock Pacific time, okay, folks?
And Sunday we are going to psychic readings again because Lennis has changed her shows around. And Sunday will be psychic readings at 3 p.m. on Sunday Pacific time. So again, Lennis is doing the ninth caller gets a $60 1 hour reading for free. So come on, folks, either you phone in or Brenda and I are going to get all the readings.
That's right. We're going to get one of those, or I'm going to get 2 free psychic readings.
Hey, you have to share a little bit. Man.
I'll try to remember this show in kindness and okay, folks.
That sounds good.
I might even give my reading to one of you. Okay. And then that takes us to Monday with the Lydia, Nina, and Brenda, the LNB show, Passage to Empowerment. That's at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And listen, folks, it's going to be the end of the 3-week challenge of either releasing a habit or building a habit. We've been doing it for 21 days, and everybody who's been doing it is successful. Some people have started a new challenge, but join us. We're going to pop the champagne. I will have a bourbon chaser with that, I think. We'll see. And drink whatever it is that you drink, water, juice, milk, root beer. And join us for the big celebration.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what we've done and how we've succeeded and, you know, where the slip-ups came and maybe delve into why they came. But anyways, it will be very exciting because it is going to be a celebration. We've done this for 21 days. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And that brings
time
us
to celebrate.
Back to
We'll also talk about on that show, where do we go from here? Once you do your challenge, then what? Okay, that brings us back till Tuesday next week. And all you great people who have either called in or in the chat room or in the archives are listening to this, who I've got my hands together and I'm bowing down to you to thank you for, you know, supporting me and just the show because it's really not about me. It's really about us all and, you know, fostering our brilliance. So next week, the show is going to be The Brilliance of Tapping Yourself Healthy, EFT. It's EFT, and I'm just having a block because I'm, well, at the end of my show. So anyway, it's called The Brilliance of Tapping Yourself Healthy. If you're not really sure what tapping is, just click on the link when you look up BYO Brilliance, and you should be able to catch the links, the little video. And, boy, when I get these brain blocks, see what graduate school does for you. Anyway, folks, thank you for joining us today. And I hope to see you next week or hear from you or join us. And thank you, 609. Thank you for listening and hanging in there with us. I really appreciate it. And I'm going just to have one thing to
Can I say something
to you
first?
All, and hopefully this is going to work because I think it's really important. Just one more thing.
One more thing, everyone. As you're bringing your own brilliance, remember this.
Words poetic, I'm so pathetic that I always have found it best. Instead of getting it off my chest, to let them rest unexpressed. I hate parading my serenading as I'll probably miss a bar. But if this ditty is not so pretty, at least it'll tell you how great you are. You're the top, you're the Colosseum, you're the top, you're the Louvre Museum, you're a melody from a symphony by Strauss, you're a band of bonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet, you're Mickey Mouse, you're the Nile, you're the Tower of Pisa, you're the smile on the Mona Lisa. I'm a worthless check, a total wreck of love. Honey, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top. You're the top, you're Mahatma Gandhi. You are Napoleon Brandy. You're the purple light of a summer night in Spain. You're the National Gallery of the Bust Salary. You're Cellophane. You are Sublime. You're Turkey. The Derby winner. I'm a toy balloon that is faded soon to pop. Buddy, baby, I'm the bottom. You're the top.
Thanks
Don't
for joining me,
Don't you just
everyone.
Love that music? Yeah, I just have one thing to say. As the manager of the Essence to Success Network, I'd like to thank everyone listening in today and in the archives for listening to our shows. You make us all know that this is worthwhile doing. So thank you again, and join us again next week. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.